Welcome back into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you until 10 o'clock. We will get back into college football and NFL conversation coming up in a busy, busy final and fourth 9 o'clock hour coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Big O, before we get to your producer six-pack, how was your Thanksgiving with the multiple young ones getting in the mix?
So we had one Franklin who was getting over a stomach bug. So that was interesting in itself because anytime he ate, it just didn't usually end well. And on a day that was so dedicated to just eating good food, and he knew all the food that was going to be around. As a matter of fact, he woke up Thursday morning already talking about mac and cheese.
Ooh.
Mac and cheese. What mac and cheese? What mac and cheese? He found out he's a big fan of cornbread, and my wife's dad made a pan of cornbread stuffing. So that has cornbread in it. I want some of that too. I want turkey. I want ham. So I was able to sort of make sure that he didn't overeat, I guess, to a point where it could have gotten really bad. But we hosted this year in our new house, which was cool.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hosted. How stressful was that?
Not as I thought it would be, but I learned the cool thing about hosting Thanksgiving is that if people bring food over to your house,
it stays with you.
It stays with you. So we had a lot of leftovers, which I was especially grateful for Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night, and into Saturday. So.
So the best thing that we do, I was up in Canton with the Divine family. Shout out, as always. My girlfriend came. My dad.
Has she been up there with them before?
Yeah, she had been up there before. So my girlfriend came for the majority of the weekend. My dad was down from New Jersey. My favorite thing, though, is Friday lunchtime. Todd breaks out the panini press.
Oh, my gosh.
And we
Thanksgiving
do
sandwiches.
Thanksgiving panini press sandwiches.
Just
so
leftovers
good.
Of everything just mixed together.
So good.
Mine wasn't as much a panini as it was just me just taking various foods and just throwing them in a Tupperware container and then just mixing them all together and just lathering it all with gravy.
Yeah,
gravy. Throwing it in a microwave. So pretty much the Thanksgiving sandwich just minus the two slices of bread.
It was like the bowl. It's like a thing.
Thanksgiving bowl.
Thanksgiving bowl.
Yeah, Chipotle.
Yeah,
get on
Chipotle.
That.
It's either burrito, a bowl,
Kidubo,
a panini
Kidubo,
press.
Yeah.
Quidobo, Quiznos.
Everybody get on that one.
Yeah, whatever makes it go. All right, cool. Good stuff, man. Let's get to a six-pack.
All righty, sir. We're going to start here with the Falcons. We had Jalen Walker just played his interview on with Andy and Randy. James Pierce now, I guess, has jumped him in the sack total. They talked about how competitive they are with each other in terms of getting sacks. But let's take both of those guys because they are crown jewels right now of the Falcons' first-rounders from last year and having great rookie seasons. They will be Pro Bowlers by the time we hit the year 2027.
Yeah, I think if we were doing true or false, I'd do true on this one. I think there's a chance that James Pierce Jr., if he finishes the season strong, he could be a Pro Bowler this year. I really believe that. He's having a – because Jalen Walker, it's just a little tougher to, like, gauge because he's so versatile.
He does a lot.
They line
him up on a lot of different places.
So I think James Pierce Jr., just from a pure numbers standpoint, probably is going to be that guy, but by this time next year, definitely. I mean, we were talking the whole show in the Falcons Town Hall about what do you hang your hat on? And those two guys are definitely, you know, if not the main reason, certainly in the forefront of what you're excited about for years to come. Now, the unfortunate thing is, I tweeted this out the other day, the latest Tankathon ratings.
Oh, doop, doop, doop.
Falcons are picking in the top 10 right now.
No. The Rams are picking in the top 10.
That's what I mean. Like, and the Falcons don't have their first-round picks.
They do not.
So that means that if you did want to potentially see if there was something you wanted to do about a challenger for Michael Penix Jr., not so much.
That's the detriment, I guess, too, of I understand that our first-round picks right now, but part of the reason or I guess part of the enticement, if you will, of not finishing a season well is that you get to pick in that top half of the draft, and that's where all that talent is, you know. So
they will not pick until the second round. Unless, like some of our callers brought up,
Blow it up, man.
Yeah, you do the unthinkable. A Bijan Robinson trade or a Drake London trade or a Chris Lindstrom
fire
trade.
Fire sale it. Fire sale.
Exactly, Mike. Oh,
yeah, we're going to have to get rid of everybody.
Me and Mike Bell on Friday, baby. If you missed it, I'll be with him at Twin Peaks in Buckhead.
We can talk all about that fire sale.
We're getting the band back together, and the hot takes will be, you won't even be able to handle
choo,
it.
Choo, 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 choo.
Orin, have that dumb book.
Choo, choo, choo. Oh, it's just going to be hovering the entire time.
Hovering.
Hovering the entire time.
Hovering.
All right, sir. We had the latest round of CFP rankings this evening.
Sure did, and they only dragged it out for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, you know, as we get closer to as we get closer to the actual CFP selection, it'll get longer and longer and longer. It'll have its own little pre-NFL pre-show, I guess, that Sunday after the next Sunday. There you go. Yeah,
it's so obnoxious.
It really
just
it's
give
a
me
lot.
The just I don't rankings. Need don't need it, man. But anyway.
You know, I'll take a jilted, maybe one or two jilted coaches, but I don't need to hear from the committee because at this point we don't.
And the two that they've had this year are just
the criteria that they use to select with at this point. Like nobody understands it anyway. So why just have somebody come on a TV and confuse us? Any further?
Yeah. So you have Alabama sitting behind Oklahoma, rightfully.
Yes,
but then
do.
You have Miami behind Notre Dame, even though they beat
which
them
brings
right
me my next question
hey
here,
now,
sir.
Hey.
We have possible chaos that could occur this weekend. Let's say, for instance, BYU, I don't know, they beat Texas Tech.
And they're going to retain their coach, by the way.
Yeah, he beat their coach and they beat Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. And when
which
they
I
do
don't
that.
I don't think will happen.
No, probably not. Yeah. But I think in this scenario, this maybe works for if BYU wins or if BYU loses. Because if you notice, sandwiched in between, above and below, if that was the bread, the two slices of bread, the sandwich, are Notre Dame at 10 and Miami at 12, setting up for the possibility that whatever happens to BYU and they're no longer number 11 come next Sunday, Notre Dame and Miami will be smack dab next to each other. And the committee has long favored, even in their confusing methods and all the other stuff of picking teams, the head-to-head matchups, they definitely will put a team above another team. Miami beat Notre Dame this year. So if it comes down to it, and next Sunday we're looking at Notre Dame and Miami and no BYU in between, does the committee go ahead and put Miami up and put them into the CFP?
Well, here's the question, Horn. Who's your G5 rep or G4 rep or whatever you want to call it?
That's another, yeah.
Who's your G5 rep?
Right now it's looking
is it
at
James
James
Madison?
Yeah, James Madison.
Because they would
man.
Be an 11-1 conference champion, and I think their only loss to the season is to Louisville.
Louisville.
Who also Miami lost to, by the way.
This is correct. That common opponent.
That makes things even more interesting. Is it going to be North Texas? So that to me is the real wild card of this whole thing. Because if you put BYU in there, then not only will one of Notre Dame or Miami not make it, there's a chance they could both not make it if the group of five gets slid in there at 12. If you're talking about BYU at 11, then the group of five team is going to be 12. So it could be bad news for both of the bad news bears for both of those teams.
Another scenario that could occur here, sir. We have Virginia representing one half of the ACC championship
God.
And 7-win Duke.
Oh God!
In the other half of
well,
that
if
ACC
Duke
championship
wins,
game,
they're not getting it.
That's the question. Next question. Yeah, if Duke wins, does the ACC then get shut out in terms of an automatic qualify or an automatic bid in the CFP?
I mean, I don't see how you could justify that.
Can't do that, right?
You can't do it. And that's why this thing is so dumb. Because here's my scenario. Are we ever going to get to a point with amount of teams getting in where this doesn't matter? Like, this is not a, this no longer, Orin, is a thing. I think the answer is no. I think they're always going to find a way to have some kind of calamity of errors occurring as they try to make the final selection. We saw it with 4. Now we're going to see it with 12. Will we see it again with 16? Probably. So what's the point, Aaron?
There's always going to be one team or two teams, no matter how much you expand this thing, that are going to feel slighted. You take this thing to 16, teams 18 and 19 are going to be sitting there like, hey, we have quality wins. Why aren't we getting in? What's the criteria now for us to not get in? And you expanded this thing. So the whole expansion thing, so to speak, is it's its own worst enemy, I guess. The more you expand, the more teams feel left out. All right. Staying with college football here, sir. Is Gunnar Stockton a Heisman finalist this year?
I think that last game didn't help.
It did. He's got one more chance, though, so
yeah.
to speak.
No. No. Fernando Mendoza.
It's like Fernando.
Jeremiah Love.
And Julian Sand and those guys. Sand. And maybe Diego Pavia goes.
Dante Moore.
I don't think Dante goes. I think they're...
Ty Simpson?
Maybe, but it depends on what happens with Saturday
Ty on Simpson's Ty. Simpson's got over 3,000 yards and 25 touchdowns.
I think this is one of those years, though, that...
Carson
that
Beck?
They don't let the... There's such a gap, I think, between the top four and the fifth. So it's only four that's going to be there.
I think it's... So if it's four, it's Mendoza, it's Sain, it's Love, and... Ty Simpson. I think those are probably the four. Okay. I think. If you don't want to go Dante Moore, okay. I would think. I think Gunner's close, but I don't think there's a couple. He's had a couple of stinkers this year.
He has.
And I think it may be one too many.
Just at the wrong times. Okay. You mentioned earlier, sir, an ESPN article that dealt with top 25 trade candidates.
Sure did.
This offseason in Major League Baseball. Number one on that list, of course, Tarik Skubal. No idea if he does get traded, but he is the top candidate if he does get traded. You venture down that list a little bit, you see a very curious name. One of the Minnesota Twins outfielder, Byron Buxton. Byron, a Georgia native, just entering into year 31, has begun to not only play more games per season now, staying a little bit more healthy, but that bat that is was supposed to be the big thing for him coming out, become a bit more pronounced now, become a bit more of a power hitter. The plate discipline is sort of hit or miss, but it's gotten a little bit better, I think, the last few years. But one of the teams that ESPN listed as a possible landing spot for Byron, the Atlanta Braves. Do the Braves have the capital and the gumption, sir, to get a trade done for a guy who is at a position of need right now, Byron Buxton?
What's the leash on Harris? If you bring in Buxton, I mean,
you're not going to move Buxton to a corner.
I mean, what are you doing with Profar? You got him for another year.
It's also true.
You're going to put Ronnie as a – and I'm for this idea to preserve him.
Kind of go back and forth with Ronnie and – yeah, partial DH with Ronnie and Byron kind of going back and forth because that preserves Byron too. You know, his health.
He's under control for, I think, the next 3 years at $15 million a year. It's not a huge financial burden. Yeah, I would certainly do it. What's the cost?
That's the thing, too. Now, $15 million per from a dollar standpoint is not bad, but it's an issue of you don't have a lot of capital right now in the minor leagues. And the capital you do have is guys that you might be counting on next year to fill spots. Like, I don't know, potential pitchers that you're going to get rid of.
He's $15 million a year for the next 3 years, and then he's an unrestricted free agent in 2029. $15 million a year, 31 years old, ascending. Why not? I mean, do you think it would cost Hurston Waldrop?
At least.
Maybe not then. Because we need him so badly.
And then maybe one of those two shortstops you took in the first round of last year's Major League Baseball draft.
Would they take Grant Holmes?
I'd love them to take maybe, Grant Holmes.
Because they may be shopping... one of their starting pitchers is on the block, too. He was on the same list. The former Miami Marlin.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Pablo Lopez? Pablo Lopez, yeah. So if they're looking to move, hey, can we do a package deal?
Just
Pablo Lopez and Byron Buxton for Hurston Waldrop?
I would love for that to be the case. I think that some Minnesota people might object to that, but hey, you know, bring them on over.
They don't spend. Minnesota is who they are. They don't spend.
Yeah.
They spend half the season in first place, and then they fall apart. That's what they do every single year.
All right, we got time for one more here. Weekend plan, sir.
Yes, sir. We'll be seeing Zootopia 2
okay.
this weekend.
Excited Heard good things
that.
About
yeah,
that.
Broke records for
a lot of money
opening weekend. Excited to do that. May got something in the works for y'all on Saturday. I'll announce that if and when appropriate. So stay tuned for that, a little teaser-rooney. And then, of course, we got Falcons on Sunday. So a nice busy weekend of college and pro football with a little movies in between. Great job, as always, on the six-pack. Coming back. Let's dive further into these college playoff situations, plus more on Jared Curtis making his flip official. Our buddy Joe DeLeon and Izzy Sports joins us next. Also, you'll hear from Joe Patrick in a busy, busy final hour. Falcons and college football to close out the show.